It is time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. As I've mentioned on several of our programs and shows, by the way, Scott McCauley with you. Glad to have you with us for another one of our get-togethers today. But our studios, we have, if you've gone by our studios here in downtown Branson, you might have seen a lot of people in and out because the podcast studios have been very busy over the last few days. We've got a lot of great shows that are getting put together and ready to go, including this very one we're recording right now, which is our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation. It is our conservation report. And this week, again, teaming up to deliver the conservation news from Stone County, Kirby Bridges. Hi, Kirby.
Hi, good morning.
You bet. And from Christian County, Michaela Leppard. Christian County's own Michaela Leppard, I meant to say, because you're a native, right?
Yes.
Of that area.
Yes.
So it's good to see you again, too.
You too. Good morning.
Yeah. So has anything exciting happened since we last got together last week, or has it been pretty steady?
We've had some exciting things going on. We had a river patrol recently, mm-hmm. Safety patrol that we encountered some violations on and talked to a lot of nice people as well. So that went really well. And quite a few exciting things happened.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is that we're kind of in a mixed bag right now because we just did a story today that we are seeing some increased drought levels in the area. A lot of that data was taken prior to the recent round of rain, and we have gotten some heavy rain in the area. And I see one of the first things we're going to talk about today is reminding folks about some of those things you need to look out for when it rains.
Absolutely.
Yes. We just want to remind people that, especially we did get this heavy rain last night, all of our little streams that may have been dry are coming up. I haven't been close to the river today, so I don't know what they're looking like today. But I assume with all the rain we had last night, those water crossings are going to get high. So we just want to remind people, turn around, don't drown. That water may not look like it's moving very quick or very deep, but once you get into the middle of it, it could be a lot swifter or deeper than you think. And it's better just to turn around than have an accident happen.
I know it's really silly when I think about this, but it is true because when it has been so dry around here that when we do get a rain like that, a lot of times the foliage is down because it's been so dry, so there's not a lot blocking that water. So these creeks fill up really, really quick. I mean, almost the definition of a flash flood, isn't it?
Yes. Like I said, I haven't seen the river today, but I'd assume they're probably pretty brown and moving pretty quick, and those low water crossings, I'd assume, are probably pretty high.
Well, and as we are recording this on July 14th, we are expecting one more round of heavy rain, maybe into Saturday. In fact, maybe some stormy weather. So certainly something to keep our eyes on and to be careful about. And that kind of leads into our next topic, which is if you're going to be out on the river, I know we've talked a few weeks now about how to stay safe on the area streams.
Yeah. So when we're in these drought conditions, a lot of people take it for granted that, okay, so we've been in a drought condition, all the rain's going to get soaked up, which is not necessarily the case. It's still going to end up in those riverways, creekways, and those waters are going to come up pretty fast. So everybody just be careful this weekend because we're looking at higher river levels, higher creek levels. And like Michaela said, when you're crossing those low water crossings, they can be very, very dangerous. When the water is running brown, you can't really see what is underneath that water. You can't see if the bridge is still there. You can't see if the road is still there. I know I grew up next to a river, and we had a very small low water crossing across a little creek, and there were several times over the years where that low water crossing and that the road right there was completely ate out, and you didn't know it until the water receded and you could see a huge hole, a crossable hole either, and if somebody had tried to cross that, they would have gotten stuck. And that's the case many times when we do these low water rescues.
I remember it's probably been a couple years now, but I, my wife and I were out at a creek that was up. It was not raining or anything, and it was not a dangerous situation. But I remember noting I just walked in a little bit, and it was amazing how just a few inches of water going quickly can. I mean, I never didn't really get off balance, but I could say, you know what? I feel it. I know it's there. And I know if you were, running or maybe you slipped on a rock, I could see where that could be an issue.
Yeah. Yes. It can be the difference of thousands of pounds of force. And people don't really understand how forceful water can be, but thousands of pounds is much stronger than any human can be, and sometimes much stronger than any vehicle.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'd also remind people, I know everyone's going to be floating this weekend or probably trying to float. Just be cognizant of the water levels, cognizant of the rain prediction. Is there going to be storms? Is there going to be more rain on the way? And of course, we always encourage people, it is the law to have a personal flotation device with you on the river. So make sure you have those. In other words, a life jacket with you on the river.
Well, and we said this, I think, even on last week's show when we did this, it is, you know, you need to have it with you. But I don't think any conservation agent or any law enforcement you run into is going to mind if they don't see you on that river with that device on at all times.
Yep.
It's really, I mean, it's
absolutely
almost like, why not?
Yeah, and under 7, children are required to have it on. But we always like to see everybody wearing those.
Yeah, and have them and make sure it's safe. Because that's the other thing, you know, we were talking about the floating. I'm sure that a lot of people, because the rivers have been down there, maybe people, as you said, could be wanting to get out. And maybe, hey, we haven't been out for a while. Let's just do that. Everything's going to be okay. But it, again, those conditions can change pretty quick, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Absolutely. So be safe. We are going to start seeing some warmer temperatures this weekend again. So we've always talked about those heat precautions. That's going to, unfortunately, look like be with us for a little bit. Kirby, one of the things we like to talk about is our friend the bears. And
yes.
and they can be your friends, because if you just take those precautions, everything's going to be out. But these dry conditions kind of have an impact on them, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. So when we get dry, drought-like conditions, the plants are going to produce fewer fruits, fewer berries. And so that's a big part of the diet of the bears that we have around here. So when that fruit stops producing in the height of summer in this heat and these drought conditions, bears are hungry and looking for food. Unfortunately, one of the ways that they find food is they smell it in dumpsters, or they smell dog food or cat food on people's back porches. And if anybody's feeding the hummingbirds, which I do as well, feeding the hummingbirds or feeding the birds sunflower seeds or corn chops, bears are attracted to that. We've been getting quite a few calls. Mm-hmm. I think Michaela has had a few calls as well about people seeing bears. I just want to remind people, bears don't really want anything to do with us, but they are hungry. And if they smell those food sources, they are going to show up sometimes. And the best thing that we can do is remove that food source. If you see a bear in the area, remove any food source, hummingbird feeders, bird seed, cat food, dog food. And that bear is going to learn that, okay, there's no more food here. I need to move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So have you had some calls up in Christian County?
Yeah, okay. I just had a call the other day that he had seen a bear the night before, and it had gone into his, he had a deep freeze outside, got into the deep freeze and destroyed that. Getting into bird feeders, they love bird feeders, so they like all those seeds and everything in there, destroyed those. Then he's also got some blackberry patches out front and was eating all those. So if you have food around your house and you live in bear territory, you're probably going to see bears.
Yeah. So please make sure all those outside sources are secure. And of course, we've talked about this before. That certainly goes for folks that may be out at one of the campgrounds. If you're out camping,
yes,
definitely important to keep the food secure, isn't it?
Yeah. Most of our campgrounds around here also have a designated dumpster. So I would encourage people, keep your food sources away from where you're sleeping. And locked in something tight like a cooler. And also, if you have food waste, make sure that you throw your food waste away in the dumpster. I know down at Ants Creek Campground the past couple of years, we've seen a bear peeking in the dumpster down there. So we do have one in that area. But yeah, just be bear aware. And if you are having a consistent repetitive problem with a bear and you've tried to put all the food sources away and it's still coming back, definitely get a hold of your conservation agents, because our priority is to keep that bear wild. We always say a fed bear is a dead bear. We want to keep that bear wild, keep it from becoming a nuisance bear, and we're going to help you do that.
And, you know, I was just thinking about this. It's amazing how versatile a bird feed can be, because we have a bird feeder up on our front porch at home. And there are some stray cats in the neighborhood that seem to like to imbibe in that. We've got squirrels and rabbits that like it.
Raccoons.
We've got raccoons possums that like it.
Yep.
Now, we don't have any bears, but you know what? We actually do see birds once in a while, too.
Yeah.
Great variety of birds. That's kind of one of the things where we have our things at home, and that's Karen and I kind of like to do that. We can sit in our, if there's nothing good on one of the 2,000 channels we got on TV, we can look out our picture window there and see a great variety of birds come through there.
Yeah.
So, and tell you what, those birds are needing food right now too, because of these conditions, aren't they?
Yes. So I like to feed the hummingbirds, And I know that I do see an increase in hummingbirds the drier it gets.
So do you, now, I think we had a hummingbird feeder one time. Is that the one you kind of use the sugar water for?
Yep, the sugar water, which is why the bears love it. They like to drink the sugar water.
Makes perfect sense. So, you know, as you're getting ready to head out, and we like to chat about this from time to time. I see it's on your list as well today, talking about some of the area rules for conservation properties. So what do we got there, Michaela?
Yeah, so depending area to area, some have different regulations and others, but we just want to remind people that our conservation areas do close from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. unless you're on that area fishing or if hunting, if the area allows hunting. So those areas are closed again from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. unless you're doing hunting or fishing related on those areas. Another thing we want to remind people is litter, pick up all your trash. A lot of people don't like to go to our areas and see a whole bunch of trash, so make sure whatever you bring goes home with you. Another regulation we want to hit on
is, so the littering thing, I want to remind people, is we keep those areas clean. It might not be the conservation agent cleaning it up, but we have employees whose responsibility is to keep those areas clean. So somebody has to come out there and pick that up. So really help us out if everybody works to keep those spots clean. And I do want to thank, I come across people quite a bit picking up our areas.
Yes.
So I just want to thank those people that we see out there doing their part and helping us keep our areas clean. We really appreciate that. But yeah, one of the violations that we have is fires on our areas. So we want to remind people that unless there's a designated fire spot, you're not allowed to build fires in our parking lots, et cetera. And also it can be dangerous to build fires where there's no designated area, especially in a drought conditions. Of course, I hopefully we're out of the drought conditions now with all this rain. But in a park in designated parking spots. So we have grassy areas that we try to keep nice, you know, for people to sit and picnic and enjoy themselves. The gravel areas are for parking. So remind people to park in the right spot. And don't block the ramps. So we have several places that are river accesses with boat ramps. And when you're coming off the water, please don't block those with canoes or kayaks. Of course, you can use them. Everybody can use the ramp. But keep those clear of vehicles and canoes and gear. And that would really help us out.
And again, as we mentioned with the trash before, if the area has either a dumpster or has a trash can, you're perfectly okay to use that to dump your trash.
Yep.
Put it in there and make it easy for everyone.
Absolutely.
Because it kind of goes to what we said earlier, because you mentioned the bears. If there's food that's just left out, that could attract them. But, you know, it just leads to so many other problems. I mean, you know, keep it good for everyone, doesn't it?
Yep. It does. And trash can be harmful to wildlife. Wildlife can eat that. I've seen raccoons get their heads stuck in jars and die, unfortunately. Even plastic bottles they've gotten their head stuck in. Of course, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Peanut the turtle who grew into an odd shape because he got stuck inside of a soda can.
Like those six-pack?
Yeah, the six-pack, the things that hold the six-packs together. There's some other things that really harm wildlife. They'll ingest sometimes things that smell like food and lodge in their system and kill them.
Well, we don't have a lot of those anymore, but when we do buy them, even though we put them in a trash, if we get one of those, we immediately cut them up.
Mm-hmm.
Always
yeah.
cut them up and prevent that, because even if it gets to the landfill, you don't know what can
Never
happen
know.
There. So
Absolutely.
Be careful about that. Before we close up and talk a little bit about OGT, I haven't had a chance to ask you, either one of you yet, about what's been going on in the lakes as far as fishing is concerned. What have you been hearing?
What I've been seeing is not many fish being caught. I'm hoping maybe this rain changes the pattern a little bit. But, you know, summer's a hard time to be fishing right now. There's not much biting. The fish kind of retreat into deeper water. So if you're used to fishing deep, then you'll be okay. Now, I will say that our walleye have been doing really, really well. I've been seeing a lot of nice-sized walleye. So if you are a walleye fisherman, definitely get out there. Even around the Kimberling City area, I've been seeing some nice walleye come out of the lake. You'll have to fish deep. I think they're fishing about 40 foot of water. The walleye are kind of suspended, or they were suspended around 20 feet. But that's my recommendation right now.
Well, and probably even for the heat. I mean, it's probably not the best of conditions. Mm-hmm. So if it's not early morning or late in the evening, probably a good idea to to do that. But as we've always said, you know, if you kind of work at it, there'll be fish to be found. And there's always Lake Tinicomo. So there you go.
There is. There's always a trout in Lake Tinicomo.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up, one of the ways that we've talked about, this is one of the constant on our reports. We do want to encourage the public to help you keep an eye on things with Operation Game Thief.
Yeah. So as we've mentioned in the past, there's only one to two of us in each county, so we can't fully, I'd say, do our jobs unless we have the public's help. We can't be in all over the county all at once. So we have a hotline called Operation Game Thief, and that's if you witness or suspect a wildlife violation, you can report it to this number. The number is going to be 1-800-392-1111. Again, that's if you suspect or witness a wildlife violation, you can call that number. If you rather call your local conservation agent, you can call that number as well, and you can find all those numbers at our website at mdc.mo.gov.
That's right. And keep in mind that if you want to remain anonymous, you can, but just any information they can give you would really help, wouldn't it?
Yes, and we ask people also be cautious when you are witnessing a violation. Sometimes these violations can be on the side of the road with road hunting. It can be on the river with maybe littering. We always ask that everybody be a good witness, take as much information as you can, get a description. And we also ask people not to put themselves in any danger. Unless somebody else's life is in danger, you don't need to interfere. We ask you to keep your safety as a priority and the safety of other people. So, yeah, relay information to us, and we will do our best to take care of the violation.
And Michaela, people shouldn't hesitate to call if they think, well, I'm not sure, or I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Even if it turns out to be nothing, you still want to know about it, don't you?
Yes, for sure. You may not think it's a big deal, but we wouldn't have jobs if we weren't out here saving the wildlife. So
yeah. Well, I know you're an enforcement branch as well, because you do have to enforce, but if you don't have to enforce, you don't want to, right? So let's get everyone stay within the rules, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can help do that and help them keep an eye on that with Operation Game Thief. Michaela, again, what's the best way to keep in touch with the Missouri Department of Conservation online?
At our website at mdc.mo.gov.
That's right. You got a lot of information. You can check the events calendar, and there's so many things going on there. I tell you what, and I've told the other agencies, and I'm sure I've shared this with you, but the Missouri Department of Conservation, Kirby, I think has one of the better websites.
We really do.
I mean, yes. of not only conservation departments, but just of in general, because there's a lot of great information.
Yes, it's a treasure trove of information. If you're looking for events, if you're looking for rules and regulations, if you're looking for something to do for the weekend, if you don't know where your local conservation areas are, your local conservation area rules, everything is on there. It's a comprehensive website. And even if you're not looking to contact a conservation agent, phone numbers are on there for private lands conservationists, for our fisheries departments. If you have any questions related to that, you can get a hold of somebody. And we're just a treasure trove of knowledge.
That's right. And of course, we got a lot of great conservation areas, as we've talked about. And as we said before, it would be really good if you can help all of us keep them safe, but also keep them clean and make sure we all can enjoy
them. Yes.
So, absolutely. Kayla, good seeing you again, as always.
You too. Thank you.
You bet. Kirby, you too.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you guys again pretty soon. That's Kirby Bridges from Stone County, Michaela Leppard from Christian County, delivering this week's Conservation Report. And that brings a close to this week's edition of the Conservation Report, part of this edition of the At Your Service podcast. But don't hesitate to check out some of our other At Your Service show. We just recorded a recent episode with the Stone County Community Health Coalition. We did do one with the Taney County Health Department on everyone's favorite topic, not ticks. But you can get that information and more by checking out all of our podcasts, not only on At Your Service, but on the Branson Podcast Network.